We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You know, with my general knowledge of sports trivia, I'm going to have to call in to beat the hammer one of these days.
Please, Dennis. Please. That would be lovely.
I look forward to that picture.
Don't put the cart before the horse there, Hammer.
There you go. Well, you know what you do if you do that? You just turn around the damn cart.
Yeah,
You're wrong. You turn around the horse. I said it wrong. You turn around the horse. I made a mistake. You turn around the horse. All right, sorry. Turn around the horse.
You know, I would talk
the
baseball.
The horse's ass.
Topper's made some mistakes, but the players aren't playing, Tamer.
Yeah.
They're just not hitting. It is what it is. We're paying a shortstop $300 million, and I just don't know. I mean,
Turner war of zero through 54 games this year? War of zero.
Harper's hitting good average, but he's not driving in runs. So my theory there is move him down to fourth or fifth to give him more opportunity with men on base.
No, because he's one of your two best on – he's really your best on-base guy, and I can't have my best on-base guy hitting that low. Let's be real, man. Castellanos got a sac fly last night because Bryce Harper was on base.
Castellanos is batting 300 now.
Castellanos is doing a great job. He's doing a great job.
You paying Bryce Harper $350 million to get on base or to hit home runs and drive and run RBIs?
To do both.
No. I just think we have to try something. So moving.
No, Dennis, here's where that's also unfair to Bryce. Guys in front of him aren't getting on much. Stock gets on, an okay amount. But Trey Turner hasn't gotten on. So how in the world, not to mention 9 has not been exactly a spot of excellence, and 9 is theoretically a guy that could be a base runner when Bryce comes up at 3. So how is Bryce supposed to drive in runners if nobody's on base for him?
Well, he's had opportunities, but he's just not having enough opportunities.
That's a Trey Turner issue. All right, Dennis, give me a big answer. The best Nick of all time, best answer, wins the Devontae Smith tickets.
Well, I don't know the early answers, but I have a couple. So if I'm wrong, I got a backup.
Yep.
Did anybody say Nicky Six, Nick Foles?
Yes, has been said. Give me another one.
I'll get two more. Anybody say Nick Sirianni?
Yes, because it's based on Nick Sirianni and Nick Nurse, double Nick in Philly. Give me one more. You got a last shot.
I do. All right. How about the great golfer, Nick Faldo?
Nick Faldo. Ooh. Not the best answer from Nick within the world of golf, but Nick Faldo is certainly a good answer and a great commentator as well. 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today away from the Tasty Cake studio here at the Borgata. Love being at Borgata. Let's talk to Dan in Winfield Township. What's up, Dan?
Happy Friday, Mr. Bubble Bath and Grandma Porn. Why are you picking on James this morning with the question?
First off,
might have been a little off base.
It was stepmom porn. Okay, let's get it right.
Either way.
And grandma porn is generally called granny porn. If we're going to go there, let's get that right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, really? You can make that distinction? You've got the inside knowledge?
Depends where you're looking. Depends where you're looking.
It's like
Betty Lines. You are revealing entirely way too much about yourself.
It's like Betty Lines.
You should not know that, Joe.
Betty Lines. Different sites, different terms.
I have to give you a dig. As I've said at the beginning of the year, your pity fills are awful. And my Mets aren't even playing well. And those three games were literally like the Mets gave very little effort and swept that awful team you root for. So hopefully you guys can put them to bed for the year and talk Eagles because that team is pathetic.
Listen, Dan, we know the Phillies right now are pathetic, but we're not in the mood to hear a Mets fan say it to us.
Well, you're going to hear it.
It's going to be a right quick phone call, I got to tell you, man.
But listen, the Eagles, I'll get into the Eagles.
Yeah.
Why are people complaining about – the offensive linemen that are coming in, that part of the team is the best coached part of the team, the offensive line. So no one should be worried about who's plugged into what. They'll be ready to play.
I expect that, too.
Maybe.
I think Cam Jurgens is a great football player.
That's unfair. That coach is incredible. So
he is incredible. But he also can't –
Juergens is going to do fine. Juergens is going to do fine.
I agree.
So real quick, who's your
football team? We're going to be really excited for the way he plays.
Who's your football team?
No, I like the Eagles.
Okay, I'm trying to figure it out. So Eagles and Mets. God,
the Eagles or you love the Eagles? You love other teams more?
Eagles and Mets.
No, there are a lot. Can I give you a list of people that Kobe Bryant was an Eagles and Mets fan? The guy that called the Super Bowl was an Eagles and Mets fan. There's many.
Who's that?
The announcer that called the Super Bowl on Fox.
Greg Olson? Burkhart?
No, his partner. His partner.
Burkhart?
Burkhart is a huge Mets and Eagles guy.
I think he's from South Jersey. Well, I think he might be a Philly fan.
He's from North Jersey, and
I didn't know he's an Eagles fan. All right, credit to him.
Huge Mets.
Long live Kevin Burkhart. Dan, give me an answer. Cool. Best Nick of all time. You're not going to win the prize because you're a Mets fan.
I know that. But I'm going to even bother you even more. New York Knicks. How's that?
That's a good answer.
Big answer, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Knicks are a Knick.
I really like that answer.
Yeah, but from the Mets guy?
I know.
I mean, come on now. Rob in South Jersey. What's happening, Rob?
Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, dude.
Listen, there's a few things I want to go over. I was the guy who first guy to beat the hammer on the new show. Last week, both you and the contestants, first of all, Devin did a great job with the question.
Thank you.
That was absolutely awful. 3-1. Me and my wife both got 8.
Wow. You know, that's been the general feedback I've gotten about that Pop Culture Beat the Hammer. Everyone's like, I was screaming in my car. I got all them right, and Joe got 3 right and still won.
And tripled the guy.
And ironically, my wife's name is Devin as well. I just thought of that when I was talking to you guys.
You know, the Devin Horse Show is named Devin also.
There you go.
Spelled differently. The place is called Devin, too.
Yeah.
I talked to Seltzer today. I think the problem was the first two questions had the numbers 2 and 3 in it, and it just confused everybody.
It wasn't a lot of numbers involved.
I appreciate you saying that.
You know,
I wish John would, he's been holding back.
Rob and Joe.
Okay.
This was the first time I can remember in a long time that both contestants were asking for long questions to be repeated.
Yeah.
Normally, when you get a long question, you're like, oh, man, if that's repeated, I'm doomed.
So I won because I did the ultimate pass, though.
You did.
I did
that out because you went and did something very unconventional and said, just forget that question, too long. I'm not even going to think about it.
Right.
That helped.
It did.
That's why you got one.
It is why I got one. And what did I get right? I can't even remember.
Bill Russell with the 40 rebounds.
And I knew it was going to be Russell or Wilt, and it's just 50-50. I just went for it.
Yeah, well, I knew it was going to be NBA Finals. I was like, I'm not going to try and call and say. But two other quick points and a quick silly point. One, the next time Elliot calls in, guys.
20 minutes from now. 15 minutes. 30 minutes. Yeah, go
tell
ahead.
Him it's Rashad Penny, not Rashard Penny. It's disrespectful to the new Eagles running back. He's done it like 4 times in the last 2 weeks.
We will take it up with him.
Oh, boy.
My second point is the Phillies, you know, they're disappointing us. But around Citizens Bank Park this summer, I haven't been to a game yet. But the first time I go to a game, my shirt may say something about beating the hammer.
Nice job.
Hold on,
be
Rob.
Great.
All right, you beat me.
Could
the
I
hammer.
Have one?
Hold on, Rob. You beat me and beat the hammer a month ago, but I want you to really consider. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to really be real with me. If you wear a shirt that says that, are you really a winner or a loser?
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
You're the one who calls himself Babe Ruth for trivia, so I can wear a shirt, all right?
All right. Rob, give me an answer. The best Nick of all time.
I'll say Nick Cage.
Has been said. Give me a different one.
Nick Saban.
Has been said. You got one more shot.
Nick Cannon. Jeez.
0-3. Oh for three. Not good. Okay, fair enough. Could have said Jack Nicklaus, but chose not to.
I can't believe you did that.
You just took an answer from someone on hold.
Well, tell that person to call earlier.
You want to know who it is? Funny enough, you stole Drew from Westchester's answer.
Oh.
Not even kidding at all.
Oh, man. 215-592-9494.
Joe is pleased.
Oh, it makes me very happy. Oh, score one for the Hammer. That's my fourth victory of the day. Hey, up ahead, more of what Nick Nurse said yesterday in his press conference. Plus, Elliot Shore Parks, the aforementioned. He joins us at 8:30. Eagles had a practice yesterday. He was there, able to see it. Who was flying around? Who wasn't?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, good morning to all. Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP as we broadcast from Borgata. We got Seltzer and Rhea and Devin as we head into a second summer weekend. But boy, do we do so with altered expectations for this Philly season. I could not have imagined this scenario, particularly given the fact that while they've had some injuries, it's not like they've been devastated. I mean, the Reese thing hurt. And Ranger hurt, and Bryce was a factor. I mean, I'm not saying that's not nothing. That's three sizable pieces, not to mention some other dudes. But it's not like they got wiped out. I mean, Trey Turner plays every day. Schwarber plays every day. Castellanos plays every day. Stott plays every day. Boehm basically plays every day. You know, JT's available every day. They, you know, choose to play him, you know, probably six out of seven or more. So, you know, Nola's been healthy. Wheeler's been healthy. Like, what? It's just it's staggering. And if you missed it earlier, we detailed it. I'll say it again. The Phillies, as we all know, are way back of the Braves. They're now eight games back of the Braves. And I'll just continue to say, I flat out don't think the Phillies will contend for the division. So it really, to me, becomes a wild card issue. The Phillies are now eight games back of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Like, let that sink
That's
in.
That's insane.
June 2nd, Arizona, who was not supposed to be a playoff team, they're eight games in front of the Phillies. So the Phillies are eight games behind them. They're also 4.5 games back of the Mets. That's a problem. That's where John, that's where this three-game series, and then I could give you four or five other teams they're behind. John, that's where this three-game series against New York really hurt, man.
Well, the last seven series against New York have really hurt.
Right.
And it feels at this point like there's something to it. You know, like there's something in the matchups, there's something in the players' heads, in the managers' heads. We don't match up the way we need to against a team that we should be comparable to. Like, if we're talking about pay scale, if we're talking about what these teams are getting paid, these should be elite groups. And it's been nowhere close.
Rhea, are they going to turn this around?
I'm not feeling it right now. But, I mean, they just can't all be this bad.
Right.
I mean, that there's too many good players on this team for it to be this awful.
Here's my theory to what you just said in the question I asked. They're going to improve, but they might fall short.
Oh, yeah, no. It's,
like,
it's,
that's the – when I talk about the standings and the wild card standings, that's the point I'm trying to drive at. They are digging a hole.
That they might not get out of.
That they really, really might not get out of. I mean, God forbid the Mets and the Padres actually play good in the final 4 months. And one of those other – teams, and I'm not counting Arizona for a second, one of those other not supposed to be good, the Pirates, the Marlins, all those random Giants.
We might need to add another wild card.
And then people will say, four wild cards is good. How about five wild cards?
I'll take it.
And then the Diamondbacks are an issue. I mean, at this point, I would consider it.
They're a young team. They're talented. Everyone knew that they had youth and some potential. But it seems like they've arrived earlier than I expected.
You got to imagine from a betting standpoint, you got to imagine that, and I don't know the numbers this morning, we could look it up, but Arizona has to be a significantly bigger favorite to make the playoffs than the Phillies. I mean, they're now eight up. I don't care how much supposed talent the Phillies have. If you're eight games behind a team with 4 months to go, you got a major problem. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Elliot Shore Parks joins us in 10 minutes, the latest on the Eagles. We'll get to some more of the audio of Nick Nurse from yesterday and the press conference. Let's talk to Colin right now in Washington Township, and feel free to rip Seltzer for his questions. Good morning, Colin.
Yeah, what up?
Hi, Colin.
Hey, you know, Joe, you're going to think I'm biased, but honestly, by the time he finished answering that second question, Robert Horry was in my head, like, automatic. I thought that was the easiest one ever, honestly.
Well, if I had processed it, I would have gotten there. I mean, I'm just being honest. I could not process it. I didn't even know what the question was.
Sounds like a you problem, but that's
Might
just
be.
Me.
Maybe it is a me problem.
Yeah, so, you know, yesterday was a rough day with me for the Phillies. You know, first, yesterday morning, one of my friends texts me and says, you know, the Phillies run differential is, I don't know, minus 30 or something going into yesterday. When we fired Girardi last year, it was a positive one. It was like, yeah, wow. That kind of checks out. Because I remember last year feeling like we were just unlucky and like we were so close to turning things around. This year is just a team of underachievers, and we just haven't really been that close. And then just, you know, I'm tired of losing to the Mets, and to make things even worse, what the heck were we doing pinch hitting Drew Ellis for Brandon Marsh? Like, that's maybe the most egregious move we've made all year. Like, Marsh is supposed to be our everyday center fielder at this point, and we bring up some 27-year-old failed prospect who's hit 141 in his career. I don't know what Marsh's average against lefties is off the top of my head, but I guarantee you it's better than that guy's.
Well, I agree. It was an astounding move, Colin. I think
it was incredible. Yeah. It was two outs in the ninth inning, and it's a winnable game. I mean, we had the tying run at the plate, correct? Yeah.
And Colin, it was it's replacing a player who I think it's fair to say has clearly been one of the Phillies' three best offensive players. It would be Marsh, it would be Castellanos, and Bryce in like the 4 weeks he's played. Three best players they've had this year. And it's replacing him literally with the last guy on the roster.
Yeah. Yes.
The last guy. Like a guy that most of us had never heard of until yesterday.
Yeah, and then, you know, they disrespect Cole Hamels given that clown his number. Like, this guy's probably not going to be on the roster in a few weeks. Like, I think I heard Pache's doing a rehab assignment. So as soon as he's ready, we know that this guy's gone. And if you want to get him a couple of at-bats to see what he's got, like, you got to start him. You don't pinch hit him in the ninth inning with the game on the line. That's insane. That's ridiculous. I guarantee you he didn't even want that at-bat, really. Like, obviously, you always want to play, but, man, that's a talk about a losing situation to go into.
Yeah,
there's
that's
no
a tough
way
spot to come up to the show
in,
man.
Colin,
give me a big answer, man. A great Nick. There's so many famous Knicks out there. Who do you have?
How about Nikola Tesla?
Yeah.
Ooh, good answer.
Tesla's
a great answer, yeah.
Potential winning answer.
Hey, Pache hadn't considered his name for a long time.
Forgot about him.
You know, he still sits atop our stats board in terms of batting. Christian,
which is amazing.
Christian Pache is about 360.
All right, let me
hitter.
Guess.
Games played.
28 at bats. How many is it?
25.
Okay, yeah.
25. But 360 on base, 600 slugging.
Wow.
Had a home run. Wow. I mean, he was a lot better than what we thought. We saw a small sample size. But remember, he is more athletic in left field than our current left fielder. I mean,
this
is
where we're at.
Someone.
Christian Pache is going to come back and save the season.
Yeah.
And Mike something, the bench coach, whatever that
Calitri.
Guy's name is.
Mike Calitri.
Mike something to whisper.
Better get it together, that Mike something.
Better.
It's all his fault.
God darn. I can't believe it. All right, let's listen to more of Nick Nurse from yesterday. James, let's play the fourth piece of audio here we have. I was sort of encouraged, sort of surprised that Nick Nurse had talked to James Harden. I guess my thought would have been this would have been a no, with James Harden being essentially a pending free agent. But, in fact, Nick Nurse has talked to James Harden already. Let's listen to the exchange when he addressed that.
You talked about being able to talk to Joel. Have you had a chance to talk to James Harden since you've taken over?
I have.
And what would be your sell job to him about why maybe you can unlock something with him staying here, him and Joel and the rest of the team?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that we didn't get into that, right? When we talked, I'm going to sit down, as I am with all the guys, I'm going to go sit down with them all one-on-one, face-to-face here shortly. But listen, I think that winning is always the sell, right? Can we be good enough to win it all? That's got to be a goal of his. And if it is, then he should stay here and play for us, because I think there's a possibility of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad he's made the rounds with the guys. I guess maybe I viewed it more like a Harden thing, like he'd be on an island just not fielding phone calls. But okay,
you do get cell service on some islands.
Yeah, but would James Harden? No, I know, believe me, I know. But would James Harden be interested in taking the call from Nick
Nurse? He's definitely going to take the call because he wants to get the most money out of somebody. He's not going to not take the call.
It's a good point.
So
it's a very good point. All right, let's talk to Drew right now in Westchester. What's happening, Drew?
Morning, folks. Joe, you're killing me. I was so excited to say Jack Nicklaus, and you just casually mentioned it on the
major
air.
And before you
say I should have called earlier to say it, I thought I was doing you a favor. I've started to call later on Fridays because if I talk to you before Beat the Hammer, I feel like it's going to psych you out. So if you say I should have called earlier, that's my response.
What a response.
Plus, you would invalidate yourself because you can't have two calls to the same show on the same day, so you would be ineligible.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I, started. That's why I just wait till after, because if you put my name on the board,
I need you to stay away, Drew. Trust me. My confidence.
I will pivot to a different answer at the end, but I want to talk Phillies too, if I could. But I want to back up my boy Seltzer. I thought the questions were fair. I thought they were difficult because NBA is not my strong suit, but I didn't think they were, hard to process. I just thought they were hard to answer.
Oh,
so I thought the questions were fair.
I'm surprised. I found it very confusing personally, and that's just me. They were long.
Poke at him, John. Go after Seltzer. Go after
No. Well,
I don't want to go after Jimmy. I appreciate the work he puts in. I know this is very
difficult.
It is
a lot of work. I can confirm coming up with those questions. There is a poll, along with our official morning show, a Twitter poll question of the day. Beat the Hammer put out an official poll, Team James or Team Joe, on this issue.
Right.
James is winning at the moment.
Well, that's because people don't like me. They
it's
like
retweeted on the morning show account. So if you want to weigh in, you can go vote. But James is winning by 77%.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, I'm shocked.
Yeah,
I think
there's a difference between
definitive.
Difficult and confusing. I thought they were difficult, but not confusing.
See, I thought the opposite.
Hey, you better get ready. Next year, NBA Finals time, they're going to be harder, buddy. So, I can't ask these ones again. I got to go even deeper.
Oh, cry yourself a frickin' river, man. Man, oh, man.
I'm just telling you the facts, but I'm not the one complaining about the questions.
No,
you are. I came up with the questions.
You're already setting the bar low next year.
No, I'm just letting you know that I'm never going to repeat a question. The last 7 years, I'm never going to repeat a question. I'm going to do I keep all my questions. I go back when I come up with a question. I dig. Did I ask that before? All that. Like, there's a lot that goes into it.
Still Mr. Kyle Schwarber, Silver Slugger.
I'm just letting you know.
Silver Slugger. Silver Slugger.
Michael Jordan, they're going to get harder as we go. Maybe you're just not as good at trivia as you thought you were. Takeaway here.
Oh, so maybe it is Joe's
fault. With 220 victories and a mere 37 losses, I think I'm pretty damn good. Drew, give me an answer. Best Nick of all time.
I just had to weigh in at the Beat the Hammer authority. I'm going to go shout out to Cousin Greg in Succession, the actor Nicholas Braun.
Yeah, it's good.
You got it, man.
Ooh. Love Cousin Greg. Braun.
I do, too.
I like Braun, the character from Game of Thrones, more than who's Nick Braun?
Bran. His name's Bran.
There's Braun and a Bran, too. You bozo.
Which one? Oh, Braun.
Bozo.
Oh, yeah. The swordsman. Yeah. Yeah, that's good work by you.
I figure if I keep going, I think I might get a salty seltzer.
We're good, man. I'm good.
No, it's in there. It's in there today.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm asking the questions, man. You're the one who's supposed to be Michael Jordan of trivia.
Yeah,
I don't call myself the Michael Jordan of asking questions.
His back up is the pathway to salty seltzer, which is the pathway to tennis ball seltzer, and then it all falls off the rails.
It's
Friday. It's Friday. What? I'm an hour and a half from the weekend, buddy. I'm golden,
so wait,
pal.
That tennis ball seltzer didn't get you a little bit?
Seltzer, when you look in the mirror and see that, that's got to really irk you.
It was during the pandemic. My pandemic haircut wasn't great. Me and 10 million other people.
That's true.
And again, I've told you this before, my wife feels horrible about it. Emily, it crushes her when she hears that you make fun of me for my hair. So
she shouldn't feel crushed.
Because she cut my hair. Not. She refused to ever do it again after that.
I mean, I'll just say this. You were a tennis ball after it's been used a lot and it's really beaten down.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's what we were doing. Yeah, like mashed up tennis ball.
But you know what? Everyone else had bad haircuts at the time, too.
Well, it's true.
It's kind of funny to think about. Like, the entire world had bad haircuts.
It was crazy.
And the funny thing, even with the tennis ball haircut, still better looking than you. So.
Wow.
All right.
Shots fired.
It's getting personal around here now. All right, let's go back to the phones. Elliot joins us coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let's talk to Richard right now in Lansdale. Hi, Richard.
Hey, I'm here. I'm just into Spreadery Bakery.
Nice. Get a lemon Danish, man. They're great.
I'm eating a lemon Danish.
Although I hate when they don't give you enough frosting. You need appropriate amount of frosting.
That's incredibly unlikely what just happened there. Yeah.
What's that?
Joe suggested that you eat a lemon Danish, and you said you're eating a lemon Danish?
Oh, I didn't even hear him say that. He said that?
Yeah.
Oh,
what are the odds?
I didn't even hear it.
Joe.
You're actually eating a lemon Danish right now, Richard?
I'm eating a lemon Danish.
Good man.
Jeez. Yeah,
that's the go-to.
I spoke to Devin around Memorial Day about finding a date for me. I asked her out, but she was taken. Devin.
Yeah, that did happen.
Can you find me somebody? I'm 35. I'm handsome. I'm 6'4". I'm Jewish.
I haven't found anyone yet, but I will keep looking.
Keep looking. Try to find somebody for me. I'm going to talk to Joe. Joe, you are the king when it comes to these games. I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you, sir. I don't know if that's true, but I'll say. I mean, I think of myself more as a czar than a king, but thank you.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
No, I'm actually great, but thank you. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good at selling me short, but thank you, sir.
But Devin's better. Okay. Anyway.
Oh. Wow. Thank you, Richard.
So find me a date, Devin, and I won't bug.
Hey,
okay,
listen.
We'll do the summer of John and the summer of Richard.
The point has been made. All right, Richard, give me a great answer here for a famous Nick.
Knickerbockers
has already been said. Give me a different one.
Oh, these are tough. I've been thinking about them.
It's a good answer, but it's taken.
Nick
got another
Jonas.
One?
Nick Jonas.
Nick Jonas.
Okay.
There you go, that's Jonas Brothers.
All right, Nick Jonas. I guess he's pretty famous. So what's their deal?
Is Nick the one who's married to Sansa?
No, that's Joe. That's Joe Jonas.
Oh, Joe.
What's their deal?
Is the youngest?
Yeah, Nick is married to Priyanka Chopra.
Okay, and Nick is considered the dreamy one.
I think, well, both Nick and Joe.
Joe's pretty good looking.
Yeah, Joe's the one who, like, dated Taylor Swift back in the day. He's been typically the one that is the ladies' man.
Can we just discuss Joe DeCamera's face? Because you don't get the Jonas Brothers, do
no,
you?
No, I just want to know, are they actually talented or are they a boy band? Just
They're Disney Channel stars.
Yeah, they're boy bands, but they good harmonies. They're, you know, the one brother's kind of got his own little band going, doesn't he?
Joe Jonas. Yeah.
Wow, they controversy play. In the Jonas world. Like, he's
they split up for a while.
Oh,
and they're kind of back together.
All right.
Like Nick Jonas does his own thing too sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, I look down at like my nose.
I don't look down at people who are worth about $500-600 million.
Yeah, but it's just,
I don't hate.
Jonas Brothers has never done it for me. All right, let's talk to our next guest. He does a phenomenal job covering the Eagles year round, and the very rare early June check in about literally yesterday where the Eagles had a practice. We love talking hardcore football. Elliot didn't see hardcore football yesterday, but he did see some football. Elliot Short Parks. How you doing, Elliot?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, man. All right, so I got a lot of specific questions, but before we even get to that, let's just start with this. What's open-ended? What stood out to you the most yesterday? You finally got to see new Eagles, old Eagles. You're scanning the whole field, taking it all in at once. What hit you the most?
I think Nolan Smith is going to be a stud edge rusher right off the bat for this team. This idea that he is undersized to me, it's actually comical when you see him out on a football field next to other players. He doesn't only look undersized. He looks completely the part of being a great edge rusher in this league. And yesterday they didn't do 11-on-11, but they did do 7-on-7. And he took some of those reps as a linebacker starting on the line, but he was still in the linebacker role. And what really stood out about him to me was he was hustling all over the field. There's no tackling in these drills, right? So at the end of the day, he has no incentive to actually run 15 yards down the field after a catch, but he was still doing it. And it looked like he took almost all the reps in the 7-on-7. So I was just extremely impressed with him as an athlete, but also just the kind of competitiveness he showed in the 7-on-7.
Elliot, was Hassan Reddick out there, or was he not
available for this activity?
Hassan Reddick was not there. Okay. Obviously, they're voluntary. There were a lot of players that were not there.
Right.
You know, little interesting he was not there, but no, Hassan Reddick was not there.
What about Sidney Brown, Elliot? I've heard people say he was a fly-around kind of presence back end. Did you notice that?
Yeah, so he took third-team reps yesterday at safety, and you can tell that he is a great athlete. If you look at the other safeties at the position, he's not the best safety right now, I don't think. But in terms of being an athlete, he just has speed that these other safeties don't have. And he's also well-built, I will say, for a speed safety. Normally, the safeties that come into camp and are flying all around are ones that are a little more undersized. You can see that he definitely has enough bulk that he could lay some hits if he needed to. Didn't do much yesterday. Like, there were no plays that really stood out from him. But just physically, you could see that he does, look the part of being a good safety.
So the odds that he starts the season as a starter, we're hearing all sorts of great things from the team on him. What is your expectation of the likelihood that he starts for us when the season begins?
I think they would want him to. Reed Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds were the starters yesterday. Reed talked after practice that he feels much more comfortable in the defense. Terrell Edmonds talked and said he's been, welcomed in, and he feels like he's getting the playbook under control. So I don't think it's going to be easy for Sidney Brown to take the job as a starter. But I think that Sidney is somebody they're going to want to get on the field. And one thing they liked about him was he is able to kind of go up to the line and play man coverage if needed. So he's not exactly like Avante Maddox. He's bigger than Avante Maddox, and I don't think he can be a full-time nickel. But if Reed Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds do hold on to the job, it wouldn't surprise me if they found different packages to get Sidney Brown on the field.
Elliot Shure-Parks here with us the day after the Eagles had a practice for the media to watch, which he did. Elliot, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. I'm fascinated to know your answer to this question. Spring into power with the new TurboMax Chevy truck engine. Armin Chevrolet celebrating their 23rd anniversary. Find new roads at ArminChevy.com. Elliot, what's the answer to this question? Which Eagles position battle intrigues you the most? Right guard, Cam Jurgens versus anybody else, including people that aren't even on the team, theoretically they could acquire. B.
Tyler Steen, though, mainly.
Him mainly, that's currently here. B, running back, which is obviously DeAndre Swift versus Rashad Penny. C, wide receiver, the third wide receiver, Quez versus Zacchaeus. And D, safety, as we were just mentioning, Edmonds, Blankenship, and Sidney Brown for two spots. Which is the most intriguing, in your opinion?
Can I pick a different one, or do I need
sure.
to pick from those four?
Punter? What do we got, a punter? We got a punter controversy? What do we got?
Well, no, to me, it's linebacker. Because when you're out on the field and you watch this team, it is very apparent that they are extremely thin at this position. I think you could go through those other spots and have some level of confidence in one of the options. Whether at receiver, we've seen Quez go out and be a fairly successful number three receiver. Cam Jurgens was a second-round pick, and athletically, I think he fits the role of guard. Running back is going to be a rotation. But I think at linebacker, that is one spot where if even one player doesn't really show up, they're in a really tough spot. Nicholas Moreau and N'Kobe Dean were the starters yesterday. Moreau has played a ton in the NFL, so I give him the credit for that, but he's not really played an extremely high level. And as impressive as a lot of the players look physically, it is just hard to watch N'Kobe Dean out there and not notice he is undersized for the linebacker position. Now, they did give him the green dot, so they have faith in him, and maybe he is someone that in games just shows up, right? He's just a guy that shows up despite maybe some physical limitations. But at all these other positions, they have decent answers. Linebacker is one where this could potentially turn ugly if, guys they have don't kind of exceed expectations.
And what's scary about that to me, Elliot, is how many years we've seen the Eagles have Hammond Eggers at linebacker and what that looks like. I mean, I am struck by the fact when Nigel Bradham was really good for that 1 year, their defense was really good. And, when Jordan Hicks was good, they were good. And last year I'm forgetting his name, T.J. Edwards was pretty solid, But, man, they've had years where it's like Manny Moe and Jack out there, and when you do, it really can be a problem.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing will be how long of a leash are these players going to get. I think at the other positions, Cam Jurgens, I'd be very surprised if week one, snap one, he's not the starter. Now, will he hold on to the job throughout the year? That we'll find out. But I think he is going to be given every chance to have that job. Linebacker, I think, maybe second week of training camp, we could see them make a move if they don't like what they say.
Which running back's taking the most reps with the ones?
So yesterday it was Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell, and I don't think that they are going to be the starting running back. I think at this point of the offseason, you generally see, especially on offense, guys that have been with the team get the first team reps. They're just more familiar with the playbook. And then the other guys on offense, you know, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, they can just run more plays because these other running backs know them. So they got the first team reps yesterday. DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny were with the second team. They both caught passes out of the backfield. Both looked good doing it. Physically, they are bigger in person than I expected. They both look bigger than Miles Sanders to me. But they, in terms of reps, they were with the second team.
We had a caller reprimand you on Penny, Rashard versus Rashad. But Penny is here, correct?
Well, hold on. What did you say, Elliot? It was so fast.
Well, So to be honest, I think I said Rashad when they traded for him, and then Jack Fritz told me it was Rashard in my ear, and now I've had that in my head for a few weeks.
But it's on Jack.
Blaming Jack now.
Always blame this. Throw it at Fritz. This is great.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal.
He's going everywhere today.
Phenomenal.
Just pass the
ball. This one's on Jack. Yeah.
Hey, how good is Zacchaeus?
So yesterday he did get some first team reps. Quez Watkins was ahead of him, and I actually think Quez had a really nice day. He probably made the best catch on the first team offense, about a 25-yard catch over the middle of the field. Really nice throw from Jalen Hurts. But you know, as far as I'm going to mispronounce the name again. I'm calling him OZ for the name at practice. But he took some first team reps. He had one catch. It was actually right after Quez. I will say Quez is considerably bigger. So, you know, and I think he is faster as well, but it's going to be a good battle. I think Quez right now has that role, but that is certainly one where in camp, you know, they'll decide who gets those reps.
Elliot, how weird was it to see Matt Patricia wearing an Eagles shirt at an Eagles practice?
Yeah, I would say it was maybe more concerning than weird. I don't think, you know, this is someone that they should have hired. I think it's a mistake. And then there was this idea, well, you know, he's just a defensive assistant. Maybe he won't even be in the building. Maybe he won't be around the players. He was out there yesterday at practice. Everywhere he's been, there have been problems. And, yeah, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I haven't met him. Maybe he is very nice in person. But if you look at his track record, he's clashed with players everywhere he's been since he left the Patriots that first time. So I think it's a mistake to have him in the building. I think it's a mistake to have him out on the field. So it was weird to see, but I also think it was concerning to see.
So we heard Nick Nurse introduced yesterday, a lot of discussion about James Harden. What's the likelihood in your mind that James Harden's staying a Sixer?
Yeah. So I thought yesterday his answer on James Harden initially felt like he's not coming back. But when he talked about how it's James' decision to make, how if he wanted to win, he said in another interview that this is the place he could do it. I do think James is going to be back. I think that Nick Nurse wants him back. Nick Nurse knows that his best chance to win is with James Harden on the roster.
That's just a
fact. So when Nick Nurse comes into a place where there's a lot of pressure to win, probably more pressure than he's ever had in his career in terms of initial expectation, I think he knows letting James walk is going to be tough. So I do think based off yesterday, it sounds like James Harden's going to be
back. But you know what, Elliot, there's a flip side to it. Because while he said, you know, James has a decision to make, what he didn't say, which is equally true, the Sixers have a decision to make of how much they're willing to pay him. And I agree with both of you guys. There's no question the Sixers have a better chance next year to win with James Harden. But I can make a compelling case. They have a better chance to win in 2 years when Nick Nurse will still be here without James Harden.
So I think the implication when you say someone else has a choice to make is that you've already made your decision. Like if I'm saying a girl has a decision whether she's going to go to the prom with me or not, that means I'm down to go, right? So ultimately, I think the way he phrased that was
But here's the deal. No, that's interesting. But Elliot, the prom is yes, no. I'm asking you out to the prom, yes or no. The Sixers thing should be we're asking you back at this price. We are not asking you back at that price. That's different.
But I think those have probably already taken place. I think at this point, you know, the season's been over for a few weeks. These conversations already took place. I don't think the money is the deciding factor. I think it's probably James deciding whether he wants to be. So I don't think the Sixers are going to give him this crazy money that people think.
What do you think is the most they would give him? 2 and 80, 2 and 100, 3 and 120? What is it?
I think it's more the 3-120, maybe 2 years and a player option at the
end
of it.
That's a lot. That's more than I want.
Well, he had a better year last year, and he made, what, $35 million? So, you know, you can argue he's in line for a raise for at least next year. And it's just a question of how far you want to go. I mean, the most they can even go is four legally under the current CBA. So I really don't think they're going to go the full four. I really don't.
Elliot, wonderful work, man. Tell us what's up ahead for the Eagles here. More practices, but not open to the media. Is that correct? All right, let's go right on back to those phone lines, and let's talk to Charles in Williamsburg. Love Williamsburg. Great place to visit. Hi, Charles.
Hey, how's it going? Williams Sport, actually. Not as great a place to visit.
No. Same, same, but different.
I played football in Williamsport in 1990. It was, I think it was our first game of the season.
At the high school?
The paper mills were running at the time.
Yeah.
Smoke was in the air.
I can imagine. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
First, I want to Seltzer's questions. I thought they were great.
Really?
I thought they
great?
Were good.
I thought they were pretty good.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. Maybe great, but a little too much. Praise,
God,
they were solid.
If John would ever say on air what he says to me privately sometimes, he's such a wuss.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're such a wuss, man. Keep it real.
It was balanced.
Wow.
Yeah, it was balanced
for
both contestants.
Yeah.
We were both screwed equally. I just happened to overcome it a little better. Go ahead, Charles. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead, pal.
No, it's your show. I got 3 out of 5.
Talking here, man.
I thought they were solid. Maybe great was an overstatement. They were solid. I was just gonna pivot back to the Phils.
Sure.
I know someone earlier talked about dropping Bryce, which I don't think I get the I get the line of thinking, but Bryce. Three is the lowest he should be hitting. It would make more sense to hit him two than four.
I agree.
Bryce needs to get as many at-bats as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other thing is, I get that it's June. We're exactly 2 days into June now. But at what point do we drop the black hole that is Kyle Schwarber in the lineup?
Today.
Yeah.
I'd play him, but I would bat him. We figured this out yesterday. It was like 6 or 7, whatever number we arrived at. I would drop him.
Yeah, have we not seen enough, or has Topper not seen enough from Marsh yet that we can stop finally hitting him 8?
Correct. That's the guy you flip him for. That's correct.
Yeah. So
that's exactly right.
I mean, that's my main. The pitching is, I'm not actually worried about the pitching anymore. The bullpen's gonna be fine. The starters, aside from Nola, we won't talk about the fifth starter spot. But Taiwan's been okay.
Nah, Taiwan's been not good. Not good.
He's up and down. He had, what, 2-3 good starts and then had another.
Yeah, but he needs to be better. All right, Charles, give me a great nick, man. What do you got?
All right. As a 90s kid raised on cartoons, Nickelodeon.
Has been said. Give me a different answer.
Nick Nolte.
Has been said. You got one more. Boy, people are struggling here.
Oh, man. I thought for sure those two. I didn't have a third, so shame on me.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. John, what were you going to say there?
I lost track.
I'll give you one from yesterday. We haven't really addressed, as it relates to the next 4 months of the season, the Phillies' chances to make the playoffs. Something happened yesterday, and something's happened the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I remember now, but go ahead.
Last 2 weeks, there's a problem brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Max Scherzer's back.
Yeah, and he's back with vengeance.
Now, that's what I mean. Like, he's
the real Max Scherzer. His velocity's not what it was when he was a younger man.
But
he's got all his pitches working, and he's throwing them accurately.
Yeah, because let's be real.
He's owning it.
Big part of the reason the Mets were struggling was Scherzer and Verlander were struggling. We're not playing.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, this is that's a compounding factor for difficulty for the Phillies to make the playoffs.
I agree with you. What are the – we talked about the movement of Schwarber down, drop him in the lineup for Marsh. It seems very clear-cut and obvious to us.
Yeah.
What are the actual – What's the chance that you actually think it's going to happen today?
Nope.
No, I agree with you. What we've seen 2%. Is that Kyle Schwarber, he likes batting leadoff. So we're just going to sit him at leadoff even when he fails repeatedly. And then last year he didn't fail once we hit June. I think it's very unlikely that they move him early in this month. I think we're going to have to sit here and wait. And it's possible that he has his June like he's had the last couple years. Yeah. If he doesn't, this is going to get really discouraging and really frustrating, because I don't expect that move, that drop of Kyle Schwarber, especially because it's June.
Yeah.
It's Schwarber month. Yeah.
You know what really struck me? I didn't know it until a caller said it yesterday, because we know all these numbers that are bad, and they're a game in front of the Nationals, and they're eight behind the Braves and the Diamondbacks and all these different ways. But here's another bad one. I didn't know until a caller said it yesterday. He hit 115.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Like, that's almost impossible. Seltzer, where does he bat today?
I think he's probably still right where he was yesterday, if I had to guess. You know? I'm with you. But I just don't know what else they're going to do, you know?
Let's talk to Joe in Mayfair. What's happening, Joe?
Hey, good morning crew, and person who is supposed to be the czar is now the complainer. Listen, he stepped up his game, Mr. Seltzer, and commend him 100%, from fifth-grader questions up until Jeopardy questions, and you're sitting there at the czar complaining about you can't get your brain wrapped up early in the morning to comprehend his amazing questions, and his syllables were, you know, communicated properly over the airways.
Yeah, at least he didn't stumble and mumble this time. He had that going for him.
No, Joe. If you are the czar, you don't complain. You complain. You're not the czar.
Michael Jordan didn't complain about non-calls? Come on, man.
I want those questions to be tougher next time, since he's so damn good at what he does. Make him tougher. Make him suffer until he apologizes to you.
Look, the question that had the three teams that have had, or the two teams that have had three people win MVP in the finals.
That's a very quality question. There's only four teams that have been in it. That's your wheelhouse. 90s through 2010 is your wheelhouse.
Well,
stop. That's your wheelhouse, Joe.
I think I'm pretty good on the 80s, my friend. Fair enough.
Plus,
my wheelhouse also is women in their 50s. That's a whole other type of wheelhouse.
Hey, now.
Yeah, come on. You guys know that.
All right, so let's get to who's over next. When you're supposed to have a winning organization and a winning team and a winning culture and a winning attitude, where does it start from?
Ownership? Or star players?
Star players and manager in a clubhouse. You're not getting rid of your star players. And Topper's completely overmatched with his answers to the media. I don't care what he does behind closed doors. He looks befuddled. He looks clueless. He doesn't know what to do. He's afraid to step on someone's toes and bench someone for a game or two because they're struggling. He is completely lost. This team looks lost. They look no energy. You go 1-5 against the Braves and the Mets. I'm sorry, 1-6 against the Braves and the Mets. 2-5 against the Braves and the Mets in an important series. And you wet the bed, and you look like at any of those games where the team actually looked like they cared about winning, one of them. The answer is no. They look like they don't want to play. They look like they're going through the motions. Even what Schwarber said, it's not like we can just depend on what happened last year. Then what are you going to do then? You're telling me your team's not qualified and not good enough to compete for a wild card? Last year was the manager at 21-29. What's your excuse this year? I'm sorry. It's the players and the manager.
Joe,
you're not getting rid of the players. So if you are going to want to save this season, Topper's got to go. And if you're keeping him and you're saying, nope, he's not going anywhere, then this team's going to lose closer to 100 games than win 80. That's how bad they look.
All right, Joe, give me an answer. Great Nick.
Well, I'm going back in your wheelhouse. We should have had him as a 76er back in the 90s. Point guard, combo guard from Nick Van Exel from Cincinnati.
Ooh.
So when would they have had Van Exel? I mean, I'm just confused on that one. I mean, he was a good player. I'm just trying to figure out when he – I don't remember a time when the Sixers could have had him, per se. But anyway, Nick Van Exel, he was a solid player.
93 through 2006.
On that Cincinnati team that had a good team under Bob Huggins. And I don't know. I just don't remember a time when they could have gotten him. And one other point, while he's talking there, I'm thinking – and believe me, I don't say this to admonish all of us as Phillies fans. I'm just going to put it out there as I ask for no more false alarms from us as a fan base. This means certainly for next week. no more they win one or two games and we say, this is the time they turned it around. Mm-hmm. Like,
if they don't win, we're creating our own against false alarms. The Nationals.
It's ridiculous.
That's a problem.
Yeah, like, after that Trey Turner homer, there's no more of that. Like, that one didn't do it. We're not doing it again.
Well, they didn't do it in the two in a row versus Atlanta didn't do it. Like, since winning two in a row against Atlanta, they've lost four in a row. Yep. So, like, there's none of that.
They've lost four in a row. They've lost five in a row.
Right.
They've lost three in a row.
Right.
They've
right. I'm just saying,
stringing them together.
I'm not doing that until they're two games over 500, which they're probably not going to be at the very least until July 1st, and that's if they play really good baseball in June. I mean, it'd be two games over 500. Okay. That's probably a 20-12 type clip or something, whatever that, you know. I mean, they're not anywhere near that right now, man.
If they win all three against the Nationals, you won't take anything out of that?
No.
I mean, look, I think it's very possible we could lose this series.
Right.
I agree with you, but the way we've been playing, we could very easily lose that series. If that happens, if we are in last place in baseball, it's going to be Armageddon.
Well, you're right.
On Monday.
You're right about, John, you're right about that. And the flip side of that is they do win three in a row, and I'm saying slap me silly.
They
on
win
Monday
three in a row
morning if I come in and
Nationals.
Say they turned it around.
Right.
Don't let me say that on Monday.
Okay.
That's all I'm asking.
They can only
start to right the ship if they sweep the Nationals. If they do anything less, it's a complete disaster.
I don't think two out of three is a complete disaster, but it's not good enough given the circumstances.
Yep.
It's time to win three against a crappy team, and the problem is the Phillies are only one game better than that team, which says, how good are the Phillies?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.